Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. What a day. What a day. We're going to get you over the hump. Let's do this. And this week, which I don't know about you, Dibs. Every single day, it's like, it feels like we've got a machete and we're in the rainforest. And you're sifting through so much stuff, trying to figure out which one kind of hits you the most. I mean, if you had told me, do you want to know what kind of odds I could have gotten that the crossover, the day after Jonathan Kuminga signs, his name won't even come up? What kind of odds could I have gotten on that?
Not good odds.
Not good.
And it's a long shot.
But that's what we got. Like Buster Posey and Zach Manassian just spoke a short time ago. Zach will join us in an hour and a half. Giants are on a managerial search. The 49ers quarterback is out. So's their receiver. So's their receiver. And so's their receiver. And so's their tight end. And they're on their way to L.A. to face their rivals tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football standalone. Also, Mike Dunleavy spoke a short time ago. Jonathan Kuminga is in. He will be in camp tomorrow. The Warriors are practicing, and they actually have a roster. And Is it all kumbaya? They'll figure that out. All of this is going on all week long. But I look, the latest and the greatest, and I think the most important thing right now, is the 49ers. It is the quarterback position. Al Michaels is obviously going to call the game tomorrow night. He'll join us in 15 minutes. And like Dibs, I know where you stand. I know where I stand, but I let's put it out there to everybody listening. 888-957-9570. If you would like to talk out the idea of whether or not you have a problem with the way the 49ers have approached playing their players this year. And obviously, namely, we're talking about the quarterback. I have a hard time with this. I have a hard time blaming doctors and coaches and executives and players themselves for playing when they, even if they mostly feel healthy, for two reasons. Number one, I'm a fan of, I don't care what you do in life, will you fight, please? Fight. Fight through it. Good Lord, how soft is everybody? Protect him for later. What are we doing? This is a football team. Protect him for later. And that's my other issue with it. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. You can't protect football players. How many NFL players this year have gotten hurt in practice?
So, I'm sure a bunch, yeah.
A bunch. So this idea of, let's wait for later. Like, he could get hurt in practice. They're football players. There is no protecting them. So I really do. I have an issue with this idea that that the 49ers did something wrong by playing their player, even if he wasn't 100% last Sunday.
I have a hard time with outsiders, fans, you, me, everyone else who gets a microphone or calls in to 888-957-9570. You can have an opinion. You're entitled to it. But at the end of it, for me, you have no idea. None of us has seen the toe. None of us is really a doctor. And even Dr. Nirav Pandya, who we love, yep. who is a doctor, I doubt that he's seen the toe. So he can only project and speculate on the severity and what it might mean. And that's where the 2-5 comes in, because even the Niners doctors, if Ian Rappaport of NFL Network talked to people with the Niners and they said, yeah, 2-5, 2-5 is a 4-week span. Right. So even at that, they're also guessing. So the people who have seen the toe, they don't know. The man who has the toe, he doesn't know. So he sits two and he feels good enough to go out there and practice, and that goes well. And then he feels good enough to go out there and play, and that doesn't go well. And so now we sit here and we do a Wednesday afternoon quarterback, not Monday morning, but Wednesday afternoon quarterback, and now he's not playing tomorrow. And so now we all beat the drum on what a mistake and how reckless and how it's a bad look and the rest of it. None of us know. None of us know what the toe was like and how bad it really was. The people who were there and the player, they thought, you know what? I can give it a go. Yep. It's football. It's dangerous. And I'm going to go out there and see what happens. And he played, and he didn't play great. Was it because of the toe? Again, we can guess. We can look at the film and go, ooh, he's not pushing off. And I saw the ball not being ripped. Right. And I haven't seen it rip all year. And so, yeah, we can all speculate what it is. Bottom line, they thought he was good to go, and he was. He played. He didn't come out of the game. He got hurt, and now he sits.
Yep, I'm all in on that idea. Like, dude, try to play. Like, how funny is this? You know, $265 million, and you don't want him to fight to play? Boy, you better fight to play. What an odd idea, in my opinion, that we should just be saving people for later when it comes to the urgency of the NFL. You get 17 of these a year, and if you can play, you play. Especially when you're an important player. Now, if you think you're actually hampering the team, that's a different one. And I don't think that the 49ers thought that. I don't think Brock thought that. I will say this to your other point about, like, was the toe part of why he played poorly out there? Again, you're right. We're guessing. We don't know. I found it interesting that many of you I know follow him. He's kind of become the guy as far as in-game injuries and being able to kind of assess what's going on, because he used to be the Chargers team doctor. I found this interesting. Dr. David Chow was actually on a halftime video chat, halftime of the Niner game. And he's like, by video, I'm telling you right now, like, Brock is struggling with his toe based on the way the ball is coming out of his hand. That toe is bothering him. That is from a former team doctor. You want to believe it? You want to throw it out in the trash? Doesn't matter. I found that interesting. And so if you're seeing the ball sail a little bit, his assessment was that that's what happens when someone is struggling through their plant foot as a quarterback. So maybe it did have something to do with it. But never forget that Mac Jones couldn't walk. Mac Jones was not healthy. And therefore unable to play. So, look, it's a bummer. Brock Purdy's going to miss his third game in 5 weeks to start a really important season. At the same time, the Niners are 3-1. They got a little bit of wiggle room. Tomorrow night is not going to be definitive as far as their season goes. So, yeah, it sucks. But good on you, as far as I'm concerned, Brock and Niners, for pushing. Trying to play. That's what you do in life when things are hurting. You go for it.
Well, maybe he didn't even push. Maybe he was feeling pretty good. Yep. And again, we don't really know. And that's where a lot of times I think it's important to defer to the experts. And you can blame strength and conditioning for the rash of injuries if you want. But again, we don't really know if that's the case. And turf toe and torn ACL and, you know, Juwan Jennings with a possibly broken rib, whatever happened to him in the goal line, that's not strength and conditioning. That's football players getting footballed, and you get hurt sometimes when you play football. So Brock went out there and gave it a go, and he got hurt. We don't know if he'll be ready for Tampa. For me, the bigger issue going into tomorrow is no Juwan Jennings and no Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah,
Mac Jones is undefeated this year as a starter. Mac Jones has looked not as good as Brock, but he's looked good enough to win games. And yet you're going to have more Valdez-Scantling, Kendrick Bourne, and not a lot else. A lot of Tonjes. And again, what I said in the crossover about McCaffrey, that's coming. McCaffrey's going to get a ton of action in this football game.
You'd think. I don't know if it automatically, just because certain weapons are out, it means that now we're going to like so heavily lean on Christian that his touches are going to go through the roof. Maybe. Maybe they will. But look, the other side of that is you're going to have to involve people that you're not used to involving. So, yeah, Brian Robinson is going to have to get some looks out there, and a bunch of receivers who don't normally get looks. Like, I mean, it's brutal. Kendrick Bourne is an incredibly key player tomorrow night, and as of last week, he couldn't catch a football. And then the other guys, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling,
one catch.
Yeah, they have no chemistry yet. They're learning the offense on the fly. The one thing about Kendrick that's good, I guess, is he's been in Kyle's system before and he's played with Mac before. And when he played with Mac in New Orleans, he played pretty well. And then it was last week that he started dropping everything that got thrown to him. So is he capable? He's an NFL receiver. He can go out there and do some things. But tomorrow feels like a ridiculously difficult assignment.
Yeah, and I would say that the pick is in, but it can't be in because that number keeps climbing up and away. And, you know, going into, like, the look-ahead line, I was thinking, Rams, I think they were three and a half.
Yeah.
That's like, okay. And I told you 2 months ago that I thought that this was going to be a tough spot. And actually the line before the season even started was 1.5. The Niners were dog. And they were a dog at Tampa. The only two games they were underdog, and that thing's gone from 1.5 back in August to now it's at 7.5, and that thing may continue to climb up and up and up. And so, I mean, I'd love to say the pick is in, but if it ends up at 8 or 9, it becomes a tougher thing to look at.
This is going to be a super, like, happy-go-lucky way to look at it, but I think it's all you can do as a 49er fan right now. The season is not going to end tomorrow night. And the worst case scenario when we go to bed tomorrow night is that the Niners are 3-2 and a game out of first place in the division, and they've got a week and a half to see if they can get more key people back. And in fact, even George Kittle could play. Like, George Kittle, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, and Brock Purdy all might play.
Because Kittle's 4 weeks ends after
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So, like, Tampa, week and a half. You're 3-2, and maybe the reinforcements are coming. And again, this is worst-case scenario. In other words, this injury situation has kind of turned tomorrow night into house money. If you come out of there with a win tomorrow night, you're like, holy smokes.
Totally.
How the hell did we pull that off?
Yeah.
And the worst-case scenario is not a preventative scenario. So,
regarding,
here we are.
As long as you don't lose anybody else, and you know that's possible. It's football, but you know the other part of it too is some people who haven't gotten a lot of action, they're going to get some action, and maybe it's Russell Gage who gets elevated from the practice squad, or we don't know who else is going to be out there. But I think it is kind of a free look at
it's a free punch.
What you have. You got a ton of backups out there.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous scenario. Dub Nation preseason right around the corner. 95.7 The Game, tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 Saturday, October 4. Warriors preseason special. You're not going to want to miss it. And it's got live appearances from Festus and Zaza and Kalena. Tim Roy as well. Your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th. Warriors hosting LeBron and the Lakers. Also, E-Dog, Evan Giddings, and Guru are going to be out there broadcasting live noon to 4. Say hi to them. It's hoops. It's hype. The season is almost here, right here on 95.7, The Game, the home of the Dubs. 888-957-9570. Al Michaels next. Greg Cosell, 315. Willard and Dibs.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Straight to the River Islands guest line, because sometimes a guest comes on to provide specific information. Sometimes we're excited about a guest because of the timing of all of it. And then sometimes it's just a flat-out honor. Sometimes it's just a flat-out honor. And that's what this is. Again, River Islands guest line, the great Al Michaels. Thursday Night Football on the call tomorrow, Rams and 49ers, and he joins us here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Al, thanks for doing it. How are you?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to the fact that Jerry Rice and John Taylor will unretire and start for the 49ers tomorrow night, so it should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, have you learned
it's
the names?
Crazy, isn't it? I mean
like, seriously, like, who's playing tomorrow, Al?
Well, I guess you've got DeMarcus Robinson, you've got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you got Kendrick Bourne, you got Sky Moore, maybe Steve Young comes over from Palo Alto, even though I think Mac Jones will be able to handle himself pretty well tomorrow. He's 2-0, and he's looking good. And, you know, it figures to be, I don't want to say a rout, but obviously the Rams are in very good shape physically. They played extremely well. 49ers are a completely different story. I mean, it's like it must seem like Groundhog Day or somebody kicked the dog or something with the 49ers, because here we go again. You know, you would think that the law of averages would come into play after what happened last year. The law of averages say, well, you know, we're going to have a better year in terms of not having that many injuries. But here we are again. Of course, the Baltimore Ravens are saying we could give a damn. I mean, tough luck for you guys, because we've got the same problem with us.
Have you seen this, or can you remember another time or a franchise where a squad has been this snake bit by the injury bug?
Well, I'm sure it's happened, because it's more recent, so that's why it seems like it's never happened before. But, you know, in terms of losing key guys over a two-year period, yeah, it's hard to think about something of this nature. I mean, last year, obviously, the team got done in 6-11 because of all of the injuries. But here we go again. But the team right now, they're 3-1. You're going to start to get some of these guys back for sure. Clearly, you know, in 10 days, you know, maybe Brock is back. Kittle should be back sooner than later. Pearsall and Jennings maybe are just out for this game only. So, you know, things are going to get better, you hope. And we'll see if they can hold the fort tomorrow night.
You know, the fans hope so. And Al, it's one of the things I wanted to ask you about is this 49er fan base, because – as you well know, tomorrow night they're going to make up more than half the building, even though their favorite players may not be playing. I wonder if you can sort of take us through what you've seen through the years in terms of the evolution of this fan base and sort of the way they travel and seem to just have such a presence in every building, no matter where they are in the country.
Yeah, they're like Green Bay and Pittsburgh in a way, and Kansas City, of course, travels very well. But the 49ers have gotten almost to that point. I'll tell you what's interesting to me is, you know, since I've lived in L.A. for a ton of years, and before that I lived in the Bay Area and Menlo Park, so I know both areas extremely well. I think what happened was when L.A. lost both of its teams, the Raiders and the Rams in 94, and it was two decades before they got the Rams back and the Chargers came back. I think what happened, you had this whole generation that skipped the NFL in town. So they decided, okay, we got to root for somebody. Some of them became Packer fans, Pittsburgh fans. But I think because of geography, some of them just naturally became 49er fans. Or maybe they became Raider fans, but the Raiders, you know, came and they left and they went, obviously went to Las Vegas. So I think what you have is a whole, I'm talking about now Rams fans who, you know, would have been Rams fans but skipped a generation. So in other words, you have the 49ers fans who travel from the Bay Area or wherever coming down, and then they're supplemented by what would have been Rams fans had that team remained here all of these years. So it's kind of a crazy thing. And, you know, the PA announcer here likes to scream, our house, whose house, our house. It's really not their house. In fact, when the Raiders came in, we did a Thursday night game a couple of years ago, and the guy is, you know, screaming his guts out, whose house? And I'm going, whose house? It's the Raiders' house. Yep. The Rams are just renting it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And Matt Stafford, actually his wife, had a famous quote about how he had to go to a silent count at home when the Niners came to town, and it was crazy. Al, you just saw Seattle and Arizona play a great one on Thursday night, and now you're going to see the Rams and the 49ers again. What do you think of the division top to bottom, and is it the best in football?
I think it is right now, and I think that, you know, the Rams are good. I mean, the Rams could obviously be undefeated, you know, squandered a 19-point lead, the block kick and all of that in Philadelphia. They had that game won and lost it. Seattle looks really good to me. I mean, Sam Darnold is going to make a big difference up there. The 49ers are clearly, you know, a talented team, but you just got to get the right people on the field. And the Cardinals are good. The Cardinals are certainly better. So I think as of the moment, this would be the toughest division. But I think, you know, the Rams are probably a little bit better than anybody else right now in terms of their personnel. Their defense is so good. We were talking to, you know, Kyle Shanahan on our Zoom call earlier today. And it's what the Rams front four has become is what the 49ers front four was like 5 or 6 years ago with Bosa up front. And the 49ers, you know, with John Lynch drafted, their priority was to, you know, get those front four guys. So you could rush four. You wouldn't have to blitz that often, you know, cover in the secondary. And, you know, it worked out great for San Francisco. Obviously, they went to the two Super Bowls. And the Rams, you know, they lose Aaron Donald, so you figure, uh-oh. But then they go out and they draft a couple of guys back-to-back who wind up 1 and 2 as defensive rookies of the year. They got Byron Young. They got Kobe Turner. They're good. I mean, they're really good, especially on the other side of the ball.
Al Michaels, of course, as if I need to say that, is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Al, you're so tapped into everything going on. I know you're aware of the lightning rod for whatever reason that Brock Purdy is. Meantime, Mac Jones, he's got an opportunity, at least, as tough as it is, to go 3-0 tomorrow. Brock is the guy. The Niners made that very, very clear. But how will you sort of handle the discussion around the 49er quarterback position based on what happens tomorrow night?
Well, I think Brock is the guy. There's no question about that. I think Mac Jones understands when he came to San Francisco that he was going to back Purdy up, and I think he's comfortable in that role. Sure, everybody would like to start, but I don't see you know, it's kind of funny. Unless somebody is like what they call or refer to as elite, whatever that means, then all of a sudden he's a bum. Not at all. I think, you know, Brock Purdy is a pretty darn good quarterback. And I'll tell you something very funny. Last week we had Sam Darnold, you know, in that game with Seattle at Arizona, and we're talking to Sam, and I said to him, who would you say are the most influential people, coaches or others, in your career? The first guy he mentioned, you know, you're thinking he's going to mention some, you know, 60-year-old coach,
right,
or maybe a high school or whatever it was going to be. The first guy he mentioned, Brock Purdy. Mm. We said, what? He said, I learned from Brock Purdy how you prepare. So the 1 year that Sam spent as the understudy to Purdy in San Francisco, he credits Purdy with making him so much better. And, of course, you know, Sam's on that trajectory right now, like very much like a Baker Mayfield, maybe like a Daniel Jones, where, you know, it takes a while to get to where you want to go. But he gave so much of the credit to Brock Purdy, which I found to be fascinating.
Yeah, and Mac Jones is trying to emulate that and be on that same trajectory. And last year, Al, only 14 quarterbacks started every game for their team. So how big of a move was it for Shanahan and Lynch to go out and tap Mac Jones, knowing that they're going to need a backup for at least some games?
Oh, for sure. No. And you know, the funny thing is, maybe they could have gotten somebody else with a little bit more money, but I think they were a little strapped in terms of what they could afford in terms of the salary cap. But when we were talking to Mac earlier today, He gave a lot of credit to what Kyle has made him become at this particular point. He thinks he has a, he says it's the best fit that I've ever had with a coach. So, you know, and he had Doug Peterson, I guess when he first went to Jacksonville, obviously he had Belichick and a lot of other coaches along the way. But he just feels that this is a really good fit. And I'm sure when, you know, Kyle was out there looking for a backup quarterback, he saw the same thing.
Al, it's so interesting. Content in America now. We know the NFL is king. You've done Monday night. You've done Sunday night. Now here you are on Thursday night. How soon till we can just do this every night of the week?
Well, I, you know what? I've actually done a game every night of the week. So, again, we did a Christmas game. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I've hit all seven. And I got a Tuesday game in, believe it or not, about, I think, 12 or 13 years ago on Sunday night. We had Minnesota at Philadelphia, and a gigantic snowstorm came into Philadelphia. So at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was clear skies, but by 5 o'clock, they had already canceled the game knowing that a big nor'easter, what they call the nor'easter, is going to come in, and sure enough, it did. So 48 hours later, I came on the air, and I said, welcome to Tuesday Night Football. So I've covered all the bases, guys.
So what happens first, Al? A team is based in Europe, or we stretch this thing out to a Wednesday, Tuesday, and, you know, Friday Night Football?
Oh, they'll play at 3 o'clock in the morning if, you know, if there's a slot open. Trust me. I mean, guys, you look at Sundays these days, you've got four windows, right? Europe, and then the early, you know, the 1 o'clock, the 4:15, and then the 8 o'clock on 8 o'clock Eastern on Sunday Night Football. So, you know, it's like you're good to go about 13 hours a day on a Sunday these days. It's crazy.
How do you handle it?
People love it. They love it.
Yep.
How do you handle your Sunday, Al? Are you a red zone guy, or do you just pick a game and watch that?
Well, I'll try to watch. It's very beneficial to me if one team I have on Thursday night is playing early and the other is late. So that works out great. I'm able to watch both. But last week, so I locked into the 49ers the week before and then watched the Rams-Philadelphia game as well. So last week, I mainly concentrated on the 49ers because I live in L.A., so I'm really, you know, well-versed on the Rams. And, you know, obviously I went back and spot-checked the Rams tape and all of that. And that's pretty much how I prepare for these games. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun for me. And then Sundays are great. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I'm a little, like, whacked out by 4:30 in the afternoon. But, you know, jump into the pool, take a quick swim, and go to bed.
Sounds like a good day to me.
Yep.
Hey, and guys, before I forget, I was thinking of something the other night I got to bring up. So we all know Dwayne Kuiper, right?
Yep.
Of course.
Who do you think called Dwayne Kuiper's only home run?
Well, I'm going to take a wild guess. Not Kirk Herbstreit. Was it you?
Kirk was 2 years old.
Yeah.
So it's my first year on Monday Night Baseball. I'm doing the backup game, the B game. We go to Cleveland. There must have been like 3,800 people, maybe, in the stands. Guys, I called it. And you know who he hit it off of? He hit it off of a guy who wound up winning a Cy Young Award 3 years later.
Oof.
Take a guess? A guy who won the Cy Young Award because he was 25-7 that year with the Baltimore Orioles, even though he had come up with the White Sox when he gave up the home run to Kuiper. I'm talking about Steve Stone.
Stone. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
There's your trivia for the day, guys. And meanwhile, Steve Stone has now done the either the White Sox or the Cubs. He's with the White Sox now. On radio for like 40 years. He's had Kuiper's broadcasting career.
And that thing cleared the fence by at least a foot, right, Al?
Oh, it was like 2 feet 9 inches.
Right.
Yes. right down the right field line.
Oh,
yep,
you man. Got it.
And both have been Ford C. Frick Award Hall of Fame nominees, including Dwayne Kuiper this year. So, wow, full circle moment. You broadcasting two future great broadcasters.
And deservedly with those guys. They're terrific.
Yeah, both. No doubt. Al Michaels with us here on Willard and Dibs. Al, circling back to you saying that you were locked in on the Niners last week, I'm going to sound like a fan here. Did you write on your notes, they do nothing well? Because, I mean, that game last week, it felt like they were struggling in every single aspect.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you turn the ball over that much, and you're normally not going to win the game. And in a tough time running it, That's going to be interesting tomorrow night, too, to see if they can run the ball at all. I don't know. You know, it's going to be rough because of their offensive line. You got a left guard, you know, a rookie, Colby. I guess he's playing pretty well, but you still have a rookie there. You know, you got, obviously, he's next to Trent Williams. That helps. Pooney's, what, in his second year or so? And that, I mean, that defense, that front of the Rams is terrific. So I think it's going to, you know, behoove Jones, obviously, to get the ball out quickly. You know, maybe, and you know, McCaffrey's got to be, I guess McCaffrey's got to be your top receiver tomorrow night. I mean, but who knows? Maybe one of these other guys comes to the fore. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, he's in his 10th year, but, you know, hey, the Rams let him go. So maybe he wants to come back and prove a little something to them. Who knows?
Yeah, five of the Niners' offensive starters from week one will not be in the game. So, yeah, it's a little bit patchwork. Hey, Al, can you give our fans a little primer on the Rams and their offense? We all know Puka Nacua is going crazy, but what else have the Rams done well?
Well, they run the ball extremely well because Kyren Williams handles about two-thirds of the rushes. Blake Corum, they've got him. He seems to be coming into his own. You picked up Davante Adams, who's clearly your number two receiver right now. And meanwhile, I can't say enough about Puka Nacua. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I think he has, what, 42 catches this season. I love watching him play because he plays with such joy. I mean, he's tough. He's a hard-nosed football player. You know, when they drafted a guy named Puka, I think, you drafted like a 5'8", 148-pound scat back or something. No, he's a big stud, and he is like, he is one of my favorite players for no other reason than, like me, he's never had a single vegetable in his life. And Andrew Whitworth, who, you know, is with us on Prime. Andrew put together a dinner with me and Andrew and Puka during the off season, and boy, I tell you what, we ate half the stockyard that night. It was phenomenal.
I did not know. Now, we knew that about you because it came up a lot last year. I did not know that about Puka. And did the two of you, like, do you have similar reasons why? Like, why no vegetables, Al?
We hate them.
Well, but how do you know that?
Well, just by look, they don't pass the eye test,
okay,
to begin with, right? And if they're cooked, they certainly don't pass the smell test.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, they don't look very good. And you know, once in a while, like a piece of lettuce will sneak into my mouth, but it's got to come out because I can tell what it is, it probably has more to do with the texture than anything else. But here I am, and here Puka is, you know, rewriting the record book, and baby, it's a meet or bust.
I love it. I think people would love to see some positive examples out there of not eating vegetables so that they can try it too. It's interesting, though, about Puka, you know, because coming out of college, he didn't pass the eye test either. So I would think,
right?
I would think that he would want to, you know, give it a shot, try something that might surprise you.
No. He got to where he is doing what he's doing, so he's got to keep this up.
So the average Al Michaels meal is just meat, and more meat. You throw in some starch or some pasta.
Yeah, I can throw in some mashed potatoes or a baked potato. That doesn't count as a vegetable. And you know, start out with maybe a little sushi as an appetizer or a shrimp cocktail. You know, I do eat fish, chicken, and all of that. So it's not as if it's meat. But, you know, once in a while, you know, a good piece of halibut is fantastic. And I love pasta as well. So it's not as if it's just meat. But, boy, oh, boy, you know, five nights a week, it is a big steak.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
Al, before you go, I'm sure you get asked this constantly, but I'd love to know. How much longer do you want to do this?
You know, I feel really good. I enjoy what I'm doing. This is my 40th year of doing the NFL in primetime between Monday and Sunday and now Thursday. I still get excited. You know, I go into the stadium. I like to watch it fill up. I just like it's adrenalizing to me. And I love, you know, the strategy of the game. I love the craft that I've been lucky enough to be a part of for a long period of time. So, and live television just makes you feel as if, you know, hey man, I'm there, I'm present, I'm in the moment, got a lot of things going on around me. The brain is working, you know, full speed. I love that. I love the feeling. I still do. And as long as I feel that way, and as long as I have the passion to do this, I'll continue.
Miracle on Ice, Dwayne Kuiper only home run, Loma Prieta World Series earthquake game, which is coming up on 36 years ago, Al.
Sure is. October 17th, Oh, man, unbelievable.
And the Mac Jones shocker. Get ready for that tomorrow night.
That's right.
Who knows?
Yep.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Do you believe in Macicles, maybe is the call.
There you go.
It's a freebie for you, Al.
Al, what a ton of fun. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys. Good to be with you.
All right, you too. Al Michaels.
Goosebumps.
Come on.
I mean.
Let's do this. Al Michaels.
Al Michaels.
Al Michaels.
I mean,
I can't believe you just threw out him the Macicle.
I thought things went so well between us. It felt like we were really chummy.
This is like the Niners playing Brock Purdy with an injured toe. You went for it.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's like trying to run. Who was that comedian who clowned us? Oh, put the big brain on you.
Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Bill
like trying Burr. To be funny to Bill Burr. That one didn't go as well as Do You Believe in Macicles?
What's the name of Bill Burr's show when it was... Not Grandpa Daddy, but...
something like that. Older Dad or something like that.
Old Dads.
Yeah.
What was it?
Old Dads. Old Dads. Lucas is right.
Yeah.
And not you were to like, get past you.
Yeah, you were like, is that because you're an old
so
dad?
Bad.
I see how you got that gig, dude. Bald ginger.
All right, Grandy. All right. That was a low point.
Yeah.
I hate everybody.
Do you believe in Macicles?
I mean...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
None of your business.
Oof. Goosebumps.
That was great.
Like when we get Bob Costas, same thing. It's like, it's Bob Costas, Al Michaels.
That's Al. That's Al.
Do you believe in McCorkles? I think would have been better.
Easy to think about it for 2 minutes and come up with one.
That's right. That's right. You're right, but so is Dibs.
What?
You don't get to think about it for 3 minutes and then be like, ooh, I got one. Like, he's gone, Lucas. He's
I had literally 0.8 seconds after Willard said, yeah, Mac, he's going to do it. And so I went for it, and he laughed, so I'm taking it.
I mean, he was being nice.
I think that laugh was more genuine. That was more genuine.
That was from last year or 2 years ago. That wasn't from last year.
Oh, never mind.
Al.
I was going to say quick edit back there.
As any really good NFL fan knows, Al has a true appreciation for somebody who's 16-3.
He should.
Oh, yeah.
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 I was a little surprised you didn't run that at him.
Well,
hey,
I mean,
Al,
yeah.
You want to lock?
Well, I would say the pick is in, but by the time we get to tomorrow, when I give the pick, that thing might be, it's at 7.5 now.
7.5.
It could be 8.5.
You're going to have some pretty big McCorkles to take the Niners tomorrow night.
True. True. Although, at some point during the show, I will share some of the advanced analytics, not with the offense, because I think you can throw all those out because their offense won't be playing tomorrow, but the defense, the advanced numbers like the way they've been playing.
I keep telling you, I'm not taking shots at the defense. There's one specific part of their defense that is just very hampered. It's not even a criticism. They could not rush the passer when they played the Jags. And if that same thing happens tomorrow night, instead of Trevor Lawrence looking for Butter Thomas Jr., it's Matt Stafford with Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. And I don't know how the hell the Niners are going to stop that. He's so good. He's so good. And so if you give him a whole lot of time, he's going to pick you apart. So that's what I'm worried about.
Okay.
That's all.
But the numbers would show the advanced analytics that their defense is slightly above average in the pass defense.
Yeah.
It's better than people think, even though they don't ever get near the quarterback.
But is that over the four games or is that over
It's over the four.
Yeah, see, I'm talking about last week. But I'd love to hear more about these advanced metrics, and it might be a good way to get ready for Greg freaking Cosell, because that's what we're coming at you with in 20 minutes. And then the Giants general manager, Zach Manassian, is only 50 minutes away. So we're rolling today, okay? 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.